Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes, from Row3.com and QuietEarth.us, and joining me today,
Colleen Cthulhu.
Did you officially change your name?
No, it's Call of Cthulhu. Nice. I don't know. Never mind. Moving on. Dale?
Dale from digitaldoodles.com.
I like your Movember growth.
Oh, thank you. I was told by a local movie maker who's working on a documentary about rum running on the BC coast that I'm rocking the captain... Rum running captain look.
You nice. Know what? I was just thinking. I earlier said Bushman, but it is more fisherman.
What?
Bushman. The Bushman beard, but it is more fisherman beard.
I'm impressed by the red.
Yeah.
I did not realize.
This was the color of all my hair once.
Long ago, in a galaxy far away.
No, it's looking very stylish. I think you should keep it. For a little
Seriously?
While.
Yeah.
Past the Movember.
Okay.
And then when you finally decide to get rid of the beard, keep the mustache, but do something crazy with it.
Okay, this is totally
like
off topic already.
Just for one day.
Have you guys seen The Untouchables? Untouchables? I can't remember. The French movie with the black guy that's the... that helps out the guy that's paraplegic. He can only move his head.
Oh, I never did see that one. I wanted
to. It was like a big deal. Well, yeah. I just watched it, and my God, that movie is so awesome. But there's a scene where the guy's grown this massive beard, and they trim it off. They cut it off in like phases.
I'm telling you, have fun with it, man.
It was hilarious. I was laughing so hard. He went from, you know, the full beard to the little handle thing to the French thing.
Do
to
the
Hitler.
Riker. Do the Riker.
What's the Riker?
Star Trek
yeah,
Next
but
Gen.
I can't... Oh,
it was the one that like followed right along the jawline. Yeah.
Yes. Win. Epic win right there. I love it.
Fun with facial hair.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
If I grew it out, I would totally. But I've been growing it out for like 39 years. It just won't come in.
Yeah, you're not doing very well. I'm sorry. It's those hormones, right?
I guess I have to wait
right?
till I'm like 70 odd and like the Amish lady. And then, yeah.
Okay, if you go Duck Dynasty on me, then we got a problem. Okay, but we are here to talk December preview, the last month of 2012. Dale, you made a good point that it seems like it's a pretty light month for the end of the year.
Especially compared to like November was big.
Yeah, November was super busy.
Yeah, you know what? The great big normal Oscar push. I'm not seeing a huge amount of the bludgeoning that I'd normally see around this time of year.
There don't seem to be as many of the big movies. And I mean, I think the one that I was really looking forward to, they've pushed it until like next year, which is The Great Gatsby.
Oh,
yeah.
So I don't know what happened with that, but
it feels. I mean, maybe that's what happened because it feels like. Bigger movies opened in more bigger is that dramatic? But anyway,
in beginning yourself.
November had a lot more large titles opening.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing their Oscar push a little earlier.
Maybe they're going
for
Thanksgiving instead of Christmas.
Christmas,
maybe.
Never know. But there are some stuff. There is some stuff coming up, and so why don't we get started with first weekend of December, Hyde Park on Hudson opening December the 7th.
A story of
a love affair between FDR and his distant cousin, Margaret. But it all takes place during like a big meet between
when
FDR and the king.
The
and
first
queen.
Royal,
king, queen
royal visit, yeah, prior to America joining the war.
Mm-hmm. And it stars Bill Murray as FDR and Laura Linney as the cousin. And I don't even know if we know who the royals are, but whatever.
I liked this movie. Interests me.
Mm-hmm.
From watching the trailer, I love the king and queen looking at American culture. Like, yeah. You get a few snippets of them, like, going, are they making fun of us?
Yeah. These people are kind of weird.
I would like to see it just to see that part.
It's going to be interesting to see if they highlighted the funny parts in the trailer and it's otherwise serious, or that's the tenor of the whole movie. Like, if it's that light, like, it kind of feels like it should be a little bit heavier than the trailer kind of makes out.
And I think you've nailed it. I think the few reviews that I've sort of skimmed from the movie, because it's been playing for a little while, is that it takes things a little too lightly. It's more of a fluffy sort of romance thing that happens to take place with these important people at this important time, and not really heavy on the politics.
That said, if there was a president to make fun of other than Bill Clinton in FDR. Like a lighthearted manner, it'd be FDR. Because there's a lot of humorous things going on there.
Well, him and Eleanor Roosevelt. Like, I'm still waiting for the quintessential FDR and Eleanor movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because that relationship just looks fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
Cool. And for those in Vancouver, Hyde Park on Hudson opens December 14th at the 5th Avenue. So a week later. Also opening December 7th, Playing for Keeps. Romantic comedy,
yeah,
with Gerard Butler being all cute and sexy and stuff.
We've never seen that before.
Never.
At least he's not playing, you know, Mr. Vengeance.
No, and the hair looks really hot. I must admit. It's like I see him and I'm like, ooh, nether bits.
Yeah, not my kind of film. It did nothing for
really?
Me.
I never would have guessed that.
I know.
I thought you'd be all over this one.
Sorry to disappoint.
I looked at what was described on IMDb as theatrical trailer number 2 first. This is the first trailer. I mean, they called it a trailer, but they had the stars talking about the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And
I was like, what the hell? What am I? It's like...
Oh, like an intro?
No. In the trailer.
They discuss the film.
They discuss the film like they're in an interview. And I thought, if you have to tell me what is going on... In the movie, we got a problem. I went back to theatrical trailer number 1, and it was a classic trailer. And actually, I thought it did, you know, a perfectly fine job of hyping the movie. But, man, the second trailer was just weird.
They've been doing some weird things with trailers the last little while. Like, they've been doing, like, intros, and there's been red band trailers but no green band trailers. There's been, I saw for the first time ever, a call-in trailer where the director actually called in and they recorded audio over the 2-minute trailer of him talking about
the
movie.
Weird.
It's just bizarre things. Like, they're kind of interesting, but they don't always work.
Depending on who the director was and what the film was, it might work.
It was Starlet, actually, because I've been tracking that movie quite a bit.
I just want to say, if Playing for Keeps had Katherine Heigl in it, I would go. But it does not. Catherine Zeta-Jones doesn't do it for me anymore.
Aww.
Werner Herzog talking over a trailer could be fantastic.
He could talk over anything and it would be fantastic. Let's be completely honest.
Albino
here.
Alligators in this film. Dude, amazing.
I saw hope in that movie that he's in. I hope they call him the German. They fucking have to call him the German. That would be so awesome. Okay, also opening on December the 7th, Deadfall, starring Eric Bana, Olivia Wilde, and Charlie Hunnam, whatever. The dude from SOA. Who the hell cares? Really, he's the dude from SOA. About a brother and sister team who
rob a casino
and get stuck in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
Trying to escape, yes.
In the snow.
Trying to get to the Canadian border.
You got it, because Canada is the safe haven, apparently, all criminals.
Like we never capture criminals.
We never check any passports or anything. Come on through.
And
we
the Mounties never get their man.
We've never extradited
never
anybody.
Ever.
Except for Emery.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah, I mean, we give up Canadians. You don't think we're going to give up Americans?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, unless you're a Quaid, I guess. But
yes, then you can go into hiding.
And political asylum.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The and make really whackers. Yeah. Oh,
just shoot me now, man. Shoot me now.
I kind of regret not going to his unfinished reveal of his movie.
No, trust me, you don't. It's like, forget the room. Forget the room. This is so much
It's like
worse.
An event like the Crispin Helen Glover. You had to be there.
Yeah, you did have to be there.
Well, I guess this is how thrilled we are about this movie we're talking about.
Oh, well, no, we just got sidetracked because I actually didn't mind the movie. I have seen it. It released on video on demand like 2 weeks before the theatrical release. It's not a new story, but Eric Bana really sells it, man. He's a really good bad guy. Like, really good bad guy. I'm not sure about the accent, but I thought it was pretty solid. I enjoyed it.
Did nothing for me.
I like that.
It looked. It's the kind of thing I would watch if I was channel surfing or something. But I don't think I would make it like a destination movie.
No,
I just watched Fargo again.
Way better selection, yes. For sure. But Mana is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I really like him. I wish he was in more stuff.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he is, and he's like pretty solid here. He really plays bad, really, really well. He's like bad, but he's a bad guy with like a streak of goodness because you know. He's got to be redeeming in some way. Also opening on December the 7th, Lay the Favorite, Stephen Frears' new movie.
Okay, if we're talking about cheesy movies to go to, this is it for me.
Well, you know, if I'd seen the trailer and didn't know who was directing it, I may say I would go, really? Seriously? This looks kind of crappy. But dude, it's Stephen Frears. Like, what is he doing?
So the movie is about...
It's about a cocktail waitress in Vegas who's like good luck, and then some other woman, Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's not good luck, and shit goes sideways. I have no idea.
A professional gambler played by Bruce Willis takes on this woman who is good luck, who's a cocktail waitress,
Rebecca Hall,
as kind of an apprentice.
Yep.
And then you know,
oh, that's what she is.
Shit ensues.
I totally did not pick that up from the trailer.
Yeah, I didn't think the trailer did a good job of explaining.
I was totally confused, but I thought, ooh, Rebecca Hall, I really like her. I'm good. I'll probably see it. Don't get me wrong.
I actually would kind of like to go see this. Yeah. I don't know if I like it enough to go alone, but I would definitely go if I could find someone.
Oh, I'd go with you.
I'd Netflix it.
On a cheap night, I'll go with you.
Yeah, hopefully for sure. It shows up at the Dolphin. That I would definitely go.
Oh, yeah, I would totally go. I'm game. I'm game if you are. Also opening December 7th, Cheerful Weather for the Wedding, a comedy from Down Under. I think it's from New Zealand. Don't mind the snoring from Dale. Based on a well-liked novel. I don't know if it's a bestseller anywhere outside of New Zealand, but based on a novel about a woman in the 1930s who's getting married and things go bad on the day of the wedding when her ex...
Who she still has some feelings for, shows up.
Yeah.
I'm all for period pieces, but this movie just did not
hook
me at all.
The trailer isn't very good.
I didn't even see a trailer. It wasn't listed on IMDb.
Oh, you could find it
with
Google.
IMDb.
Yeah.
I had to look
the
that
Google.
Up.
The Google.
But I wasn't even interested enough with the title like that. I'm not even bothered.
Yeah, the title is really not good. Yeah. I mean, I thought it looked fine. I'm not running out to see it, but I put it on my watch list. I like period pieces. I like Felicity Jones. Yeah, why the hell not? Okay, probably I'm thinking what else is opening later this year. Okay, well, this is definitely one of the biggest
big one, yep,
of the year. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Part one.
Of three.
What? Is it a three-parter?
It's a three-parter. Yeah. They're not really advertising
God,
that.
Oh, let's freaking milk it some more.
Why not, man?
It's like,
I will go.
Let's take an epic, I don't know how many thousand-page book set and only do one movie per. But The Hobbit, which is like shorter than any single one of the
Lord of the Rings books.
Yeah, we'll make three movies out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Dale. And you know what? If it was one film, I'd probably be all over this like a fat kid on a Smartie. But if I have to now like wait year after, I'm just going to wait and like BitTorrent the fuckers. Pardon my language. I'm so sick of three-part freaking epic things that I have to wait ad nauseum all the time.
Try five parts, okay?
Well, yeah.
But five, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No thanks.
For a certain other series.
I think I'll pass.
Yes, that's right. I'm really excited. Admittedly, I am the only reason we're going to IMAX, I kid you not, is so I can get 9 minutes of Star Trek. I kid you not.
I'm kind of jealous about that, but I definitely wouldn't take that much for the team.
Yeah, no, we totally are. I bought my tickets like last week? I can't remember. I bought my tickets. We're ready to go. We're going Saturday morning.
I just realized it's like, I don't know, dear listeners, is there anyone here who doesn't know what The Hobbit is all about?
Seriously?
J.R.R. Tolkien, baby.
J.R.R., yeah, a kind of a prequel to Lord of the Rings.
There you go.
There.
It explains how the ring came.
Yes, how Bilbo Baggins got the ring.
Exactly. Full admission, I have never read The Hobbit. I read Lord of the Rings. Never read The Hobbit.
You know, The Hobbit was probably the book that got me into science fiction fantasy because my grade 5 or thereabouts teacher read it over the course of the year. I don't know if we actually finished it.
But hey, it hooked you.
Well, it hooked
so
me.
It did the job, man. Yes. It totally did the job. I must say, I am really looking forward to it. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't keen on going all the way out to Langley in the middle of really bumfuck nowhere, paying the toll on the fucking bridge to get out there. But yes, tickets are bought. We're going. 9 minutes of Star Trek. That was the selling feature right there.
Wow.
I said to Dan, we're going. I need to get my Star Trek fix. Also opening December for the 14th for some ridiculous reason, because I guess it had to open at some point. Save the date. I don't really have much to say about this. It's about two sisters. Lizzie Kaplan is one of them. I really do like her. Alison Brie is the other. Like her as well. One of them is getting married. The other one gets proposed to in front of a big crowd because her boyfriend is a musician. She doesn't accept and then goes, you know, searching for herself, I guess. I really have no idea. The trailer just sort of goes...
Yeah, the trailer just did not interest me in the movie at all. Yeah.
I didn't feel compelled to be interested in anyone in that at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like one of the worst trailers. Like, I'm certainly interested, and the reviews are quite positive, but the trailer is such a snoozer.
Like, also, know your frickin' partner. If you, some people, you know what, the whole proposal thing in a big public setting, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Well, admittedly, he got... they twisted his arm into it. I think his best friend or something. I'm not sure. Just watch the trailer. You'll see it. You'll see for yourself. It's just not a very good trailer. Prepare yourself.
No, it isn't.
It's not good. Okay, let's move on to the next week. December the 21st, right before Christmas, This Is 40. Judd Apatow returns with Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, Jason Segel, and Melissa McCarthy. Yes, win. Melissa McCarthy is awesome.
You like Paul Rudd too, don't you?
I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I was thinking.
He's one of my secret polygamous husbands.
Oh, awesome.
Of which there are many.
Great.
And most of them are like European and Danish, apparently.
Very strange.
If
yes.
Catherine Heigl was in this movie, I might be interested.
I'm totally game because I love Paul Rudd.
Oh, this, yeah, no. This.
Well.
The chemistry in this movie, like, I think this is maybe. The trailer doing too good a job, but the chemistry of the actors in this movie just kind of left me a bit flat. And I'm like, what? No Katherine Heigl? No Seth Rogen?
Well, this sort of takes up, like, Knocked Up was not one of my favorite Apatow movies.
It wasn't great.
But the couple, the ones that, you know, Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann play, they were the best part of that whole movie. And now they get their own movie. This apparently takes place a few years after the events of Knocked Up.
I didn't find them the best part of Knocked Up.
I will see it.
Never saw that original.
It's okay. You're not missing much.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
Not my kind of thing.
Mind you, this will be low, very, very low on the list of things to watch this week because Zero Dark Thirty also opens on the 21st.
Now that one, I don't know what to make of that one, but...
The trailer gives you zero, like zero. But seriously, what more do you need? Catherine Bigelow. Oscar winner.
The same writer that did Hurt Locker.
And you got like one of the story that everybody was scrambling to get their hands on. So
yeah, I guess how much liberty are they going to take with the story?
I'm sure they'll take quite a bit.
If it was Catherine Bigelow doing a purely fictional story on this kind of thing, I would be really into it. But I don't know. I'm always a little bit dubious about things that are supposed to be real life when they start twisting things and they're not really clear.
When they give them the Hollywood treatment.
When they give it the Hollywood treatment.
Not the documentary treatment, the Hollywood treatment.
Exactly.
Exactly. There's actually a TV movie that they're making as well that I think plays on TV like the week before this opens, or maybe it already played. I'm not 100% sure. That also looks kind of interesting. It's very similar story thread, but it's a totally different producing team. I think it's the guys that did, that produced The Hurt Locker.
Okay.
But different actors, everything is completely different. But
if Mark Bowden, who wrote Black Hawk Down, was involved, I would be in there like
a dirty shirt.
Yeah, fly on shit.
I'm really looking forward to it. I can totally see where you're coming from, and I don't really have that issue with based on true events movies. Take it with a grain of salt as it is. So I'm more than game.
Sometimes even when it's fictional, like I was okay with Argo, which took quite a few liberties with the real story. It's kind of hit and miss. So
I have faith in Bigelow and Annapurna Pictures. I think this is the first film that that they're releasing. They've got their fingers all over a whole bunch of properties. So definitely want to keep an eye on. Also opening on the 21st, Jack Reacher. Sorry, I look at that and I always say Preacher for some reason. Christopher McCary directing. He's mostly a scriptwriter guy. He has made one other movie, but he's usually a writer. He's won an Oscar for The Usual Suspects. So he's got cred, I guess. Based on a best-selling novel, stars Tom Cruise as Jack Reacher. Apparently, those that have read the novel bloody hate the fact that Tom Cruise is lead, because apparently he's nothing like the character. You've read these, right?
I have not read these, but just from watching the trailer, I think I'd be so much more interested if they cast any number of people in this role other than Tom Cruise. I can't get over the fact it's Tommy Boy. I've gotten to the point that I cannot see him in most things without going, yeah, Tom Cruise. And it rips me right out of a story because it's Tom Cruise. It's Tom Cruise running. It's Tom Cruise standing on a box to look equal height to someone else. It's Tom Cruise doing something else. It's never the character. It's Tom Cruise.
I could see that. That could be problematic. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I like Tom.
I don't really have a problem with Tom. It's just Tom
you
is don't, Tom.
That's all you see.
I felt like I was kind of getting mixed messages from the trailer about what kind of movie this was, because the first minute of it, I was like, oh, he's playing his Mission Impossible character without having all of the baggage of it being Mission Impossible. But then the last half of the trailer, it kind of changed up a little bit, and I was not quite sure what to think of the story. I'm kind of interested, but I'm not sure.
Well, he's a homicide investigator who is investigating. That was badly written. But he's looking into a case where a sniper is said to have killed five
people. We get all
of
this crap set up at the beginning of the trailer about him being a ghost and him being some uber-like talented, almost espionage, but he's really really a cop. Like
and
a military cop.
I can't figure out then, if he's gone rogue or not.
And then we get into this kind of, police vengeance kind of genre thing. And the action looked kind of good. And some of the acting looked like pretty solid. So I'm just kind of like, if I hear good things about it, I'll be more interested. Like if it does have a solid story, like it's telling me it wants to tell a solid kind of whodunit story, along with a whole bunch of other things that I, some good action sequences. So if that's what it is, I'm interested.
Yeah, much like Ghost Protocol, I would not pay money to see this in theater, but as soon as it's on Netflix, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah, Ghost Protocol on IMAX was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really good. Also opening on the 21st, The Guilt Trip.
Okay, another cheesy comedy I'm kind of interested
Road
in.
Road trip with your
totally
mom.
Totally not interested.
Really?
None whatsoever.
I've done that in Europe. Road trip with your mom? No thanks. I'm not watching this.
Seth Rogen and Babs. Babs.
Babs.
We haven't seen Babs in forever.
Yeah.
At least I haven't seen Babs
not
in forever.
Not since the last Fokker movie.
Oh, God, that's right. She's in those. I totally wiped that from my memory. Thanks for that. Seth Rogen plays
I haven't seen any of them, just
okay,
so you
good.
Know.
Okay, good. You're not missing anything.
I kind of came to that conclusion.
I blame my parents, my dad specifically. Seth Rogen plays an inventor who has come up with this great invention, and he and his mom go on a road trip to sell it. And shit goes wrong, apparently, because, you know, that's what happens.
That's what has to happen.
Otherwise, there's no movie.
Exactly. I don't know. I kind of found the chemistry between them was kind of fun. It could get old. I mean, I will be the first to admit it could get old in the first 10 minutes because the trailer is only 2 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But something kind of charmed me about it.
Okay.
Nothing really for me.
I can't diss it, man, because there's a lot of shit on my watch list. So I am the last person
yes,
to talk.
We all like different kinds of crap.
Exactly. Also opening on the 21st, Monsters, Inc. 3D. Sigh, yawn,
yes.
No interest.
Monsters, yes. Inc. is one of my all-time favorite Pixar movies. They did not need to bring it back in 3D. I'm sorry.
So I take it you're not going?
yeah.
You're not camping out the night before and start squealing like a 14-year-old girl?
14-year-old girl from Monsters, Inc.
Only if someone ties me up and kicks me in the balls.
I've been avoiding the theater since...
Only if Biebs is in it.
Since the Twilight has dropped again.
The Twilight. I love it.
I
really wanted to see it again this week, and it just didn't happen.
Oh,
so
let me tell
I'm
you.
I'm going Monday.
You want to see Gong Show? So our local discount cinema actually has a $2
win.
Movie night. I went to a 4 o'clock movie to go see Skyfall as I'm coming out. So Twilight and Skyfall are playing $2 Tuesday. You want to talk about Gong Show outside
Holy
the theater
fuck.
For the 7 o'clock movie. It was insane.
Oh my God.
Skyfall 4 o'clock show kind of thing at the Meadow Ridge. And I was going to Cloud Atlas on the day it dropped. Yay!
Nice.
Massive line. Everyone, Skyfall, 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 Skyfall. Cloud Atlas, please. The guy's taking the tickets like to the left, to the left, to the left,
oh.
to the left, to the left. I'm like looking at it and goes, hold on, to the right.
That's awesome. Also opening on 21st, Cirque du Soleil, Worlds Away, directed by Andrew Adamson, who did the first two Shrek movies and the two Chronicles of Narnia movies. Produced by James Cameron in glorious 3D. Looks very pretty.
Yeah.
Is this the first Cirque du Soleil
no.
movie?
No.
Okay,
I think this is like the second or third now.
I'm kind of guessing the third.
Yeah, I think wow. they've done a few of them.
I must have missed those two because it looks
it
unbelievably
looks, yeah, it
awesome,
looks gorgeous.
I think I need a story.
well
there
mean,
is, though. They kind of, well, at least the one that I went to, I can't remember the name of it now. It had... you know, a theatrical story, sort of like modern interpretive dance
mm-hmm.
kind of story.
Yeah, that's not
there
a story.
There was meant to be some sort of narrative. Yeah, no, I didn't get it either. It was
well,
a little bit too obtuse for me. But
I mean, when I saw one of the live shows, I've only ever seen one, so don't think I go to these things all the time. But when we saw Ka, there was actually like a verbal introduction.
Oh,
where they actually
okay.
set up the story. There was like a voiceover thing.
Not
and
in
then
one
they,
I went to.
And then there was the dance. So I don't know if you can even call it dance. It's like glorious dance / gymnastics.
It's a performance,
yeah.
more than just a straight up dance.
I mean, it looks gorgeous. And considering that I had to give up my, I actually bought tickets to the show, and it's on the weekend that we're at Whistler, so I had to sell those bloody tickets. So I'll go next year, but in replacement, I think I'll go see this.
All
just because right. that's awesome.
Okay.
Also opening on the 21st, The Impossible. This is Juan Antonio Bayona's English language debut. He's the director of The Orphanage. Stars Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor as a family, the parents of two kids. They're on vacation during the 2004 tsunami. Family gets separated based on a true story of a Spanish family. They've changed the family for UK yeah. so that they can do the English thing. And I must admit, for me at least, the trailer didn't really do... It was beautiful, but I was kind of like, yawn.
I'm with you.
But the reviews have been outstanding. Like, I'm certainly really curious to check it out. It's kind of like Life of Pi. The trailer did nothing for me, and I still hold a huge grudge against it, but I'm reluctantly going to have to go.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind seeing it. I don't know. I kind of like
survival story, eh?
Yeah, I kind of dig on those.
The trailer
is... Plus,
I
like the kid starts helping out and running because he's, like, fully able. Yeah, yeah, I like that. It's like, good for you, kid.
No, I mean, the trailer is, like, stunning. Like, this trailer is gorgeous. But the story, I kind of went, ah, whatever. Seen this before. Don't really care. But I must say, I'm really curious by the reviews.
I like in the trailer where everyone sort of stops and goes, what's that sound? And yeah. they're all looking, like, towards the water going, okay.
Holy crap.
And then it comes over. Wave oh, comes boy. Through.
Yeah. It's like, you can't outrun that. Sorry. Yeah. That's got to suck, man.
Hug a tree.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Or something that's, like, glued to the ground. Mm. Also opening on the 21st, On the Road, the Walter Salles adaptation of the classic
Jack Kerouac
novel, which I hate. However,
you've read it?
I did.
I have not.
I participated in Shannon's Book to Film Club this year, and On the Road was on the list. And I sluggishly went through it. And when it started to get good at the end, just when I sort of got the rhythm of the dialogue and the story, the bloody thing ends. I'm like, seriously? I just now got it? And you're ending. And you went nowhere. Well, they went everywhere, but...
I don't get the adoration of the book. I'm sure as hell not interested in seeing a film at
I have
Basin.
I have a feeling that, I mean, I can see why the book was so well loved. I mean, I don't have that connection to it.
No.
But I mean, if you were from a period where you grew up when this was happening, because I think it takes place like in the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were growing up or you have a memory of that, I think you would get a different... understanding of it, like you'd have a different connection to the story because yeah. there's all this stuff that gets covered that it's so quick. You like, I read it and I kind of went like a lot of it you just sort of gloss over until you start to think about it and you're like, wow, that was totally different. Like life was just totally different. I mean, you wouldn't do that now. You'd probably get killed somewhere along the line. But I don't know. As much as I didn't care for the book, I could appreciate it for what it is. The movie, I actually found that I don't know which trailer is on IMDb. I just recently, earlier this week, there was another trailer that they released, which I think actually captures the rhythm of the writing a lot better than any of the other trailers because it kind of has that, it's set to a musical beat and it kind of has that sort of beat poetry sort of style to it. I don't know. I thought it was a really effective trailer. I really want to see this, mostly because I really like this cast. So you have Garrett Hedlund, Sam Riley, Kristen Stewart, Viggo Mortensen. There's a bunch of other people in here as well. The reviews have been sort of mixed, but I'm certainly curious. Any interest from you guys or no?
No.
No, that, you know, a film adaptation of that book just does not sound like my cup of tea.
Well, I for me, it's sort of, I've suffered through the book. The movie cannot be any worse.
You say that now.
It's dun, dun, dun. Oh, that sounds great. Like a challenge.
It totally is a challenge. We'll see how it goes. Also opening on the 21st, Not Fade Away. Excuse me. Written and directed by the creator of The Sopranos, David Chase. That is pretty much the only reason I would even consider seeing this on a rental.
I thought it was like a biopic on some band I should know, and I kept on going, who is this?
Yeah.
Who is this band I should care about?
It's not.
Oh, wait, I don't have to care about this band. Okay, good.
It's a 1960s period piece.
It's not Bob Dylan because I can hear what he's saying.
I don't know. It's one of these little dramas that you sort of just pop in when you have nothing else to watch. That's my feeling from seeing the trailer. It doesn't really scream anything.
I'm going to pass on this one.
No.
Yeah, it didn't grab me either.
No. Also opening on the 21st, The Heartbreak, Heart Wrench. There's Michael Haneke and Amour. Not for the Faint of Heart. The story of a man and a woman in their 80s And yes, one of them dies. The movie starts that way, so it's not like I'm spoiling anything for you. You saw this at VIFF, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Oh, good God.
And you know what? Quite honestly, the subject matter just is so depressing.
It
and
is.
The trailer is so unwatchable kind of thing in a depressing kind of way. And the only reason I'd be interested in seeing it at all, Michael Haneke. That's the only reason I'd even bother attempting to see this.
Dale, anything for you?
I kind of think I'm with Colleen on this. The trailer was just a little bit too serious. That's not quite the right word for it, but...
And I don't see how this one would really sort of line itself up well with Haneke's sort of way of basically making things horribly violent. It doesn't seem like that's going to be that kind of film.
Oh.
Really?
It kind of has a scene that's like that.
Okay, well then maybe I will have to then.
It's not for the faint of heart. It's a hard movie to watch. I'm not going to kid.
Of his are.
It's difficult. This one particularly because everything is so naturalistic.
Oh.
I mean, nothing is embellished. I mean, things just are as they are. It's funny because I think I talked with Bill about this when we did our wrap-up podcast for VIFF, and we were trying to get into a screening that was happening right after this screen at the Granville 7, and we sort of snuck into the back and stood there, and there was still maybe 20 minutes left in the movie. When we figured out where we were in the movie, Bill left. He's like, I can't watch this again. I'm leaving. So I turned my back. I put my headphones in and I tried to pretend nothing was going on. I couldn't do it. I had to leave. I couldn't watch it again. It's heartbreaking. But he's working on, like, there's a couple of directors that sort of work on this, like, other level. It's kind of not fair to anyone else. It's really weird because, I mean, it's a movie. I mean, it's not one I would recommend to people. Like, I'm really glad I saw it. It's a masterpiece of filmmaking, but I can't recommend it to anybody. Like, who am I going to recommend this to? Certainly not my parents.
I'd be hard-pressed to recommend any Haneke film to pretty much anyone other than a film fan.
I don't know. I think some of them are a little more approachable than others. I mean, Funny Game is probably the easiest one to take in, right?
Yeah.
Either version, but certainly the American version.
But even, like, Seven Continents? Like,
yeah.
There's just something about Haneke. It's...
Yeah. And I mean, The White Ribbon, brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's like, who do you recommend that to? Exactly. Other film fans. Because nobody else is going to want to see
a
movie.
Do you like Art House? Well,
there's a movie for you. Exactly.
You probably already have it marked down because it's Haneke. So why am I recommending this?
Exactly. But I went on far too long. Sorry about that sort of sideways winding.
Don't apologize.
Opening after Christmas, after we've all been stuffed with food and Boxing Day shop.
The trailer I saw said it was opening Christmas Day.
It probably is. I think it is. I think most of these are opening Christmas Day. At least Django and Les Mis, I think, are both opening Christmas Day. So yes, first up, Django Unchained. Quentin Tarantino brings this badassery for Christmas. Is there a better Christmas gift than this?
This is awesome. This is
exactly.
When I first heard about this, I actually wasn't too excited when I saw the trailer. Like, it's just like,
hells yeah.
Oh, damn, Mr. Tarantino, you've done it again.
Oh.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx, Leo DiCaprio. Like, where do you even start with this? So Jamie Foxx plays a slave who is freed to help hunt down this guy.
Who has his wife and is abusing her kind of thing.
Who cares? Who cares what it's about?
The trailer.
Just watch the fucking trailer.
But no, this is what got me was the story as it's playing out in the trailer. It's like, God, I want to see this.
Exactly.
This is just like.
Exactly.
The more I see this trailer, the more I'm like, God damn, this open tomorrow. I want to see this now.
Breathe. It's less than a month away. Less than a month away.
We're good almost there. Violence. Yay.
It is great violence.
Well, and of course there will be violence, but actually that isn't what
the real seller
me
of the
in, yeah.
Actually, you know what did it for me was Leo DiCaprio. And there were a couple of stills that they released before the trailer, and in one he was smoking this weird cigar and holding this margarita glass, and I'm like, seriously, what the fuck is going on? I'm so seeing this.
You know, and one of the other features that kind of jumped out at me on the trailer was how you have like Fox playing this very smart black person in period. And you don't see a lot of that. It's usually some sort of like deficiency with the character. And then you have like the DiCaprio character making these horrible racist comments. And in the context of having this great black character and the comments, like, I just love that juxtaposition. It was great.
Django the D is silent.
Dude, it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. And let us not forget Christoph Waltz, who I nearly forgot, who is fantabulous, and he's in this. And honestly, what has Quentin Tarantino been doing that he is only making Western now?
Well, he was, wasn't he involved in...
Well, I don't think he grew up on
Yojimbo. Wasn't? No.
No, I don't think he grew up on Westerns the same way he did on, you know, like the Hong Kong
Wire. But it seems like such a perfect fit. Like, I just look at it and I'm like,
fair enough.
How has he not done this before? Like, the spaghetti Western? I don't know. It's got his name written all over it.
He promoted Takeshi Miike's one. That's what I was thinking about.
The
spaghetti.
What the fuck was that called?
I know.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That
Eight
one.
Shades of Awesome.
Yeah. Pretty much. Okay. Now that we've spread our glee on Tarantino.
Oh, God. Zoe Bell's in it, too.
Of course she is.
Yeah. Why wouldn't she be?
Why wouldn't she be? There's no cars, but there are horses. She could do stunts. Also opening on, we're going to say the 25th because that's when it actually opens. Les Mis, Oscar winner Tom Hooper brings the musical sensation to the big screen. Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe, Anne Hathaway, Helena Bonham Carter, and a list of others.
Love the costuming, love the set, love the story. Just can't handle a musical version of it.
So. Oh, God, thank you. It's like, I was going to say sorry, but, you know, if they didn't have the singing, I would be interested.
Exactly.
I'm totally sold. I am so totally sold.
It's. I used to go to the symphony all the time. You couldn't drag me to an opera. As soon as someone starts singing, it ruins the whole damn thing.
Dan's kind of like that.
I'm okay. I'm actually okay for musicals. If like I have seen some musical.
Wait, you like My Fair Lady?
I do, but you know what? That is a musical. Whereas this is the great big operatic made into a musical. And
this, like,
but it's
like,
not like they're just doing this for the movie. I mean, the realistic, forever.
The realistic, like the story. I have seen the story done in a movie. It was like an old movie that I really liked. And I would be cool with that, but it just, I'm not actually a fan of the music. This is one of the few things I've actually seen on a stage.
Ah.
I fell asleep. I don't know. The music is just wants to be so epic and take me so seriously.
Where you don't get that in My Fair Lady.
No.
That is very true. You just get awesome hats.
Exactly.
I love the hats.
G. White, Henry Higgins, just G. White. I'll soothe your head upon a plate.
I do love that movie. Quite
I was okay with Moulin Rouge, which was just total cheese, but
I like Moulin Rouge a lot. Yeah.
So it isn't that I don't like singing in movies.
Yeah.
I just like singing in this particular story. I guess it's Les Mis because the original story it was based on isn't called that, I don't think. Or is it?
I have no idea. Colleen, do you know?
I don't know.
Victor Hugo's novel. I think it is called Les Mis.
Oh, okay,
Les Mis.
Sorry.
Well, Les Misérables, but whatever.
Yeah.
Les Mis. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, get back to the original book. Screw the music from this stupid stage play.
I'm okay. I'm totally okay with the music. I certainly was not particularly interested in this because musicals are not necessarily my thing. But holy shit. Yeah, the second trailer, I'm sold. I'm like, yeah, I want to see that. You got my money in the bank. Also opening on the 28th, oh God, Parental Guidance.
Oh, this is another cheesy one that kind of caught me.
Billy Crystal
maybe
and
this
Bette
is
Midler.
Just the mood I'm in today.
Maybe. Billy Crystal and Bette Midler play parents to Marissa Tomei. They go to visit her.
Okay, you can't tell me you didn't laugh from the scene in the trailer where the girl is like standing over the cake, stuffing her face, yelling at her mother. You totally lied. Yogurt is not the same as ice cream.
I don't remember that from the trailer, so.
I do remember that. Don't feed the kids sugar. Well, feed them sugar. Yeah, it did nothing for me.
Billy Crystal is just not really.
You know what? I think he should stick to his forte, which is doing Oscars.
I agree. He's a really great Oscar host.
He's really good at the musical quip sort of like nice teasing you. Yes. He's really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just, mean it's, teasing.
Yeah. It's true. He's been more miss than hit with movies.
I
although
can't.
It's been a long time since he's. This is the first movie I remember. I think probably since the psychologist one.
Yeah, the analyze this and analyze that. Yeah, with De Niro or whatever.
It's funny. I enjoyed that movie the first time I saw it, and I tried rewatching it, and I just totally. It
doesn't play well.
And the sequel sucked.
Yeah. Last thing I really liked him in was the original City Slickers.
That actually was good, yeah. Actually, that was probably the last. I mean, aside from Princess Bride, where he was all makeuped up, but
Magic Max.
Yes, Miracle Max.
Miracle Max. That's right. Thank you.
No idea what that is. That's a reference as well.
Princess Bride.
You haven't seen Princess Bride?
No, I've seen Princess Bride, but I don't remember his name.
Oh, he was
have
the...
fun storming the castle.
He's
I remember
not
him.
Dead.
Like I remember the character.
Dead.
I mean, I remember the character. I don't remember his name.
You know, Miracle Max might have only shown up in the credits.
Oh. Too blave.
Yeah,
he is funny.
He was too like, bluff.
And I like the movie. I don't remember his name. That's okay. All. Yeah. Sorry, I have not seen Princess Bride like 5 million times, like everybody else. Sorry.
Well, I've only seen it like 1 million times.
I've probably only seen it 47 times.
I've literally only seen it twice, so you guys are way above me on that one. Also opening on the 28th, Promised Land, Gus Van Sant's new film with Matt Damon and Frances McDormand, about a salesman for a natural gas company who is trying to buy some land or lease some land and has a change of heart, I guess.
Moral crisis, yeah, because the gas company isn't being entirely ethical about... Yeah, I you know, the story didn't interest me, but not because the trailer was bad, just because it's not
my
kind
of
my not my cup of tea. Exactly.
I like these types of movies. So, you know, Aaron Brockovich me anytime, I'm good. And I like Gus Van Sant.
Well,
so
this isn't really Aaron Brockovich.
No, but that it kind of has.
That was more of a detective, like a legal procedural almost.
Yeah, but this has kind of the same. For some reason, I put them in the same sort of category of
I
big corporation
have.
About the and the
yeah,
little
but
guy,
this is about a guy on the inside having a moral crisis about what he's doing.
That's what it reminded me of. Don't know why.
Yeah, I just want to see Matt Damon killing people. I really like him as Bourne a lot.
Just kill people already. Stop doing dramatic fare. Just kill people.
Or do Sarah Silverman. Either one is fine with me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's still probably one of my favorite YouTube videos of all time.
It is a pretty good one.
I'm fucking Matt Damon. She's fucking Matt Damon. I love that.
Oh, brother. Also opening...
Pardon the swear words.
Who cares?
Whatever.
Also opening on the 28th, Quartet, Dustin Hoffman's debut as a director... Maggie Smith, Michael Gambon, Bill Connolly, who I did not recognize in the trailer, and Tom Courtney, retired opera singers, all in the same retirement home. They all apparently hate each other, and now they're all working together to put on a show.
Did you see this at VIFF?
No. Oh, no. Don't confuse yourself, because I did. The other one that played at VIFF is called A Late Quartet.
That's what I was thinking
That's
of.
That's what it is.
All right.
Because the first couple of times I saw this trailer came up, I'm like... Dustin Hoffman didn't direct that movie. And I'm like, oh, shit, there's two movies with Quartet in the title.
Damn it.
Yeah, totally threw me for a
loop. Never
mind. So, yeah, this is the other one. One I haven't seen.
I didn't even look at the trailer because I
Because you figured it was the same one?
I saw that at VIFF. Okay.
Yeah, no. No, you did not, neither did I.
All right.
No interest?
Learn
no interest,
to read.
No. I wanted to be interested. Like, when I read the actor list, I thought, oh, this should be. But yeah,
it has a very specific target audience in mind. I'm not it.
I did not find that the story hooked me. Well, at least the portrayal of the story. Like even on paper, the story sounded kind of interesting. But I just did not see the kind of dramatic tension I'm usually interested in. in these kinds of movies.
No, I'm with you.
And it felt like, I mean, it almost felt like it should be a little bit more comedic than it was, and it's definitely not.
Agreed. And wrapping up the month and the year, West of Memphis, Amy Berg's new documentary, yet another documentary on the West Memphis 3 case.
Yeah, I didn't watch the trailer for that because I didn't actually see that at the bottom of the page. I mustn't have scrolled down far enough.
Oops. That's okay.
My bad.
That's okay.
I'll use that excuse next month.
Did you watch this trailer?
I watched the trailer.
Any interest?
It didn't hook me, no.
Have you seen any of the other Paradise Lost, the Paradise Lost documentaries?
No.
No.
I'm a big fan of the Paradise Lost documentaries. This one, I'm interested mainly for two reasons. One, Amy Berg. She's really a fantastic filmmaker. I really have enjoyed all of her documentaries. She's only made two. This is her third. And this is produced by Eccles, who was one of the accused, and Peter Jackson produced this as well.
That was interesting in the credits when that showed up. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm not quite sure if another documentary is necessary, because the Paradise Lost documentaries have done a very, very good job of documenting this from the beginning, including the release of the three accused. So this seems kind of unnecessary, but all things considered, it is a different voice. I mean, you have a completely different director on board, and Eccles is actually involved in the background, which sort of might bring something different to the table. So I'm certainly curious to see how this plays out. Doesn't hurt that Nick Cave and Warren Ellis have original music for the movie as well. So I'm not sure when we'll get to see this, because documentaries are kind of hit and miss, but definitely want to keep on the radar, I think.
Maybe at Doxa.
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. Very likely, I would say.
Cool.
Because that's pretty early in the year, and this is really late in the year. So.
Yeah.
Locally, I don't have too much, but I just want to run over a couple of things that are happening locally, which are worth discussing. The Cinematheque and the Van City Theater are putting on the Studio Ghibli retrospective. So between the two theaters, they're pretty much showing all of the Miyazaki movies. So prepare to cry a lot.
How did I not know this before?
This is happening. So the screenings start December 7th, and they run through December all the way into January 2nd or 3rd something.
He has a large body of work.
And it's not just his work. It's the Ghibli collection. So you've got Castles in the Sky, Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service. I'm sure there's a bunch in there that I've missed, but they're playing both at the Cinematheque and the Van City Theater.
Nice.
So scroll down to the wiki page where the show notes are now stored. I'll need to figure this out when I actually do the show notes. And just the link will be there. You can check out both the Cinematheque and the Van City for screening times, but that's really exciting. And that collection recently was in Toronto as well. I played at the Bell Lightbox, so that's kind of cool. Also at the Cinematheque, the European Union Film Festival, a couple of interesting titles there worth checking out, including one of the big Oscar favorites, The Hunt, from Denmark, I believe. So it's totally worth checking out. Mads Mikkelsen being awesome.
Cool.
And that runs November the 23rd. It's already started, and it runs through to December the 6th. What else we got at the Van City? Two holdups from VIF are returning. Phil Grabsky's In Search of Haydn, which I'm really excited about because I missed this at VIF.
Yeah, I wanted to see it, but I couldn't schedule.
Yeah, so hey, if you want to go, we should plan, because I really want to go and check that out. So that's awesome. Also, they've got the Sigur Rós Voltari. I wrote it down and I can't really read it. I think it's like a docu-musical thing. I'm not 100% sure, but it also played at VIF. Also worth mentioning, they've got Michael Apted's 56 Up, which is also playing VIF. It's doing its Canadian premiere at VIF and then playing at the Van City the week after. So if for anybody that follows it, the Up series is fantastic. They've been following the same group of people for like 56 years. So totally worth checking out. And perhaps the greatest thing to have happened to Vancouver before Christmas, Flash Gordon on the big screen.
Whoa.
I am so going.
Which version?
Which one? Yeah.
Yeah.
The 1980s version. Which other version is there?
Yeah, well.
The awesome version with the Queen soundtrack, that is the only version of Flash Gordon, okay?
I was thinking maybe it was the silent version or something.
No, like sorry.
No?
It's okay. The awesomeness from the 80s. The glorious, garish awesomeness.
Is it paired up with Flash Gordon?
I was about to say, God, super awesome. We are so... I mean, honestly, I mean, Flash Gordon at its time was kind of... considered, you know, a bad movie, or not a
the
bad movie,
sex
but
beam
a porn
from
movie.
Outer space.
But now it's kind of tame by porn standards, but it totally so makes a good doubleheader with Flash Gordon.
Okay,
it
you
really
hear
works.
This, Van City people? You need to pair this with Flash Gordon. That's well, right. It's playing at 10 o'clock.
I know a woman that did like played the movies back to back with her grandmother, and her grandmother loved it.
Okay, that's hilarious. We totally
watching
need to put
porn with your grandma.
Okay, yeah. We're totally tweeting this to Van City. If you guys are listening, Flash Gordon and Flesh Gordon together. So it's playing for two nights, the December 14th and 15th, so Friday night and the Saturday night at 10 p.m.
You know, I have seen that, and the only thing I remember is the Queen soundtrack.
Flash! Oh, and the flying things and the multicolor. It's so garish. But it's
well,
totally
Flesh
awesome.
Gordon has flying things too.
I remember the TV.
Jesus Christ!
The TV show was shot at my work all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that TV show was so lame.
It was really bad.
Oh.
Well, you realize the only reason I've seen Flash Gordon, we did a movie club podcast on it with Zardoz. Yeah. Exactly. Zardoz is so awesome.
I remember seeing Zardoz on like the late night movie when I was, I think, 14, like before I had my driver's license, and it blew my mind.
Yeah. That must have been a quality cinecast.
No, it is.
Movie club.
It is quality. Yeah. Epic quality.
I'll
but
have to look up that
what's,
one.
What's even better is Dan and I watched those two movies back to back because I hadn't seen Zardoz in like 10 years. It was something else, I tell you. Dan has fond memories of Flash Gordon. Not anymore. I think I ruined it for him by giving him nearly naked Sean Connery beforehand.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that is a classic shot of him in whatever yeah. those shorts he's wearing are.
Weird so ass good. Leathery.
Leathery,
weird
yeah.
things.
Oh, and now that I think back to it, yeah, definite gay undertones I did not get at
14. Oh, yeah, serious gay undertones. There's just so much sex in that movie. It's awesome. They showed it to me in school in the 10th grade.
What?
How awesome
really?
Is that?
Wow.
Well, we read The Chrysalids, and then we watched... It was an honors English class, okay? We were like top notch here. Oh. Apparently we were all mature enough to get it.
The best we got was Polanski's Romeo and Juliet. And that was the buzz through the school.
Yeah.
Was like, there's a nude scene.
Yeah. You see
all the guys are trying to sneak in. Yeah.
Yeah. They showed us that as well. That didn't go over nearly as well as Zardoz did.
There's someone at my high school that actually cut up their porno mags and splice them into pages in random books inside the library.
So you're flipping through, I don't know.
You'd see kids like flipping through the pages kind of thing, and trying to find another one. Yeah. And the teachers the librarians are all impressed because usually the guys who never went into the library are suddenly in there and like taking an interest
in
reading.
And they're reading the most obscure things too. I wonder why.
Should have known something was up.
Yeah. Should have known. I think that's it for December and the year, kind of. I mean, we will be back before the end of the year. We have a Whistler preview to come.
Hooray.
Maybe a Whistler podcast if we can find the time.
Hooray, hooray.
And, you know, we might be drunk, but whatever.
Chernobyl.
Nice.
Yes.
Is this our battle cry? Chernobyl. I can go with that. And then we'll be back hopefully with a January preview and perhaps a year-end thing, but we can talk about that later.
Oh, yes. That
yes.
moment I always dread because I watch so few movies compared to you two.
You know what? I don't have the largest list the last.
I
since
do
I've
have
had roller derby, my
you're
amount
watching...
of films have really dipped.
I found that I have a pattern. I read until... So it's a good thing I get all my reading done before VIF. So I had a challenge, the 50 book reading challenge. I met it just before VIF. Because I haven't picked up a book since.
Wow. Mm.
So I've decided this is going to be the new trend. I will read in my free time until VIF. And after VIF, it's all movies all the time. because that's all I do is I watch movies. Lots of movies.
Yeah, you've been watching a lot of TV lately, too.
Yes, I've watched... Although, I watch a lot of stuff, period.
You've either turned off the little whatchamacallit notification or slowed down a bit.
No, I'm still watching them all. They're just not automatically updating to Facebook. But they're there.
Well, Twitter.
Yeah, that too. I've turned off that notification because I think it was annoying people.
Yeah, I know a couple that were.
Hence why I turned it off. Because nobody needs to know that I'm really watching Beauty and the Beast and loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Loving.
They prettied him up a little bit too much.
Don't care. Awesome show.
How is he the Beast?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, a scar.
Sometimes he gets angry and takes on like extra sort of strength.
That's the prettiest scar I've ever seen.
Oh, I know.
It totally works.
It makes him look fascinating, not ugly.
Yeah. I don't care. Make fun all you want. It's awesome.
Quite honestly, it's still better than Elementary.
I'm watching Elementary and enjoying
it. I'm watching it too because I feel if I don't.
Okay, we should just. Can we just like block that channel from you?
No.
Because you shouldn't be allowed to
watch it. I need to know what the
it.
Enemy is doing to my beloved, beloved franchise.
You know, to me, it's gotten to the point where it's not even really Sherlock.
Well, then take the names away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have that passion for it, so I don't care. I'm enjoying the show. Just
I've read
whatever.
Everything Conan Doyle I know. Published.
And that's why I don't know why you do this to yourself.
What did you think of George C. Scott and They Might Be Giants?
Ooh.
Should I be looking this up?
It was a Sherlock Holmes story, but it was a movie.
Okay.
You know what? It doesn't bother me nearly as much as the sort of emo version of Sherlock
it's
on Elementary.
It's not emo. Come on.
Oh, he's all sensitive and shit.
No, he's not.
Oh, are you kidding?
He has the occasional, like once an episode, he has an emotional thing.
The world is a puzzle, and sometimes you don't have friends when you see the world as a puzzle. Boo! Suck it up, Sherlock.
This is why she shouldn't be watching it.
Damn it.
I don't know. I just don't know why you peen yourself out.
You have to. Know your enemy.
Take some opium and suck it up.
That's exactly right.
No, I'm talking about you.
No.
No, I'm giving you a hard time.
I can drink all my gin at once.
But seriously, I don't know why you do it to yourself. Don't like it.
It's Sherlock. No matter how crappy it is, it's still Sherlock. I have to watch it. It's a compulsion. It's my OCD kicking in. I need to have the complete freaking set.
Even
Sherlock.
Even if it kills you and it goes on for like seven seasons.
Me. Oh, God, no. I'm telling you, the first time they hook up, I'm going to have to go to wherever the hell they shoot it and hunt people down.
Watch out, New York. Colleen's coming for you. I'm not sure if that's where they film. I have no idea.
Maybe. Who knows? Who cares?
But, Dale, you're watching 666 Park Avenue, aren't you?
No.
No?
Nope.
Neither of you are? Too bad.
Should I be?
It got canceled, so probably not.
Well, I'm glad I didn't get invested in that one.
They are apparently doing the full 13 episodes.
I'm enjoying Haven. Looking forward to Lost Girls.
Back in January. Very excited.
Do we need to start a TV podcast?
We might need to do like a once in a blue moon TV podcast because I watch a lot of TV. You guys do too.
I do too.
Yeah.
But we totally need to do this. Okay, maybe we'll record a little extra on the side. Okay, stay tuned. You may get a surprise TV podcast.
After the commercial break.
Yeah, we'll be back after the commercial break. Okay, let's wrap it up.
Yes. For the Studio Ghibli retrospective.
Bring the box of tissues.
Porco Rosso.
Bring the box of tissues.
Is one I would recommend as well.
Kiki's Delivery Service I actually liked.
I think they're all great.
I enjoyed that. Actually, Kiki was good. It was kind of interesting too to see this whole thought of like a girl that young just being kicked out of the house on her own.
Mm-hmm.
But Porco Rosso, you don't hear too much about, but was a great story, I thought.
Some reason, I have it in my mind that it's one of the more popular ones.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I could be completely off. I don't really follow. I mean, I never quite know how well the Ghibli stuff does here.
Yeah.
I know that they're released by Disney in North America, but you never really get a sense. I mean, everybody knows that they're great, but I never really got a sense for how well they do theatrically.
Don't know that they're all great.
Like, I think they're mostly good.
I found Ponyo a little disappointing.
I didn't see that one. Because I think that was the last one that played here.
The most recent, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see it, so I have no idea. But you just sort of get the sense that they're for, like, the cinephile. Like, the kind of thing that Kurt would take his kids to. Like, I could see, like, lots of Kurts taking their kids to these. But I don't, and, like, adults that watch them. But I don't know how well they play to kids. I've never shown them to kids, so I have no idea.
Yeah, some of them I don't imagine would. Like, I can't imagine Princess Mononoke playing really well to kids.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
My heart.
It was, and that one for me was like an interesting movie. I'm glad I saw it, but it was nowhere near my favorite.
Yeah, they've got a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And so a lot.
Oh yeah, there's like.
You can overdose on Studio Ghibli stuff for a couple of weeks there.
So there's like 12 of them.
Yep. Lots to see in a very short period of time. So let's wrap this sucker up. Be sure to come on back. I totally lost my mind.
One other thing.
Oh, yes.
Battle Royale at the Whistler Film Fest, boys.
And girls, El Topo.
And El Topo.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that on our next show.
Okay.
So stay tuned. Come on by Row3.com. Check out the links to all the trailers. Leave us some comments. We'll be back. Probably in like one day's time with our Whistler Film Festival preview, or maybe it'll go up before. I have no idea how this is going to play out. They're probably going to go up at like the same time, and perhaps the surprise television podcast. You never, ever know. So until next time,
we'll see you after the credits.
Hit him! Hallelujah.